We have been in the book of Proverbs for the last few weeks, and it's been a super fun time. As we've jumped in, Renaud and Brady and I have been studying this book together. It's been a lot of fun, and as you look at the book of Proverbs as a whole, what you find is that Proverbs is a book that is written to us so that we could know what it is to live a life of success, and that in that life we would follow God well. If you were to take the book of Proverbs and just sum it up, there it is, that we would be able to live a life of success, and more importantly, that we would be able to follow God well. One of the big themes as you take a look at the book of Proverbs is this idea of friendship. Friendship is huge in the book of Proverbs. As you read through, you'll see things about how you should look for friends, the way that you should find a good friend and things to look for in a friend. And you'll find things in the book of Proverbs, encouragements of how to be a good friend. And all throughout the book of Proverbs, you read about this huge theme, friendship. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I love this subject because friendship is very, very important to me. It's probably very important to you as well. And it is definitely very, very important to our culture. So as we jump in tonight, I want to have a little bit of fun with you guys. Are you guys cool with some interaction tonight? Is that all right? JP, Jamie, what's up? Welcome back. They just became special friends and are married. That's awesome. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to take a little bit of a culture survey tonight of famous friendships. Famous friendships. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give half of that famous friendship, because it takes more than one person, two people, to make a friendship. And so I'm going to give you half of that friendship, and I want you guys to complete the friendship. You guys good with that? All right, let's start. I'll start off, and they're going to get a little harder as we go, but I'll start off real easy. The first famous friendship I have for you guys tonight, and I'd love for you to just shout it out. Fred Flintstone and? Yeah, Barney. Anybody know his last name? Yeah, I love you guys know your cartoons. Okay, this is a little harder cartoon. Rocky and? Yeah, you guys are good. Yogi and? I knew I could get a crowd to say boo-boo. Yes. All right. Batman and? Robin. All right. Tom and? I tricked you guys. They're enemies. They're enemies, not friends. Ooh. All right. The Lone Ranger and? Tonto. See, even the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. This is kind of harder. I'm going to have to give a little hint with it. They had an excellent adventure. Bill and? There we go. If I would have just said Bill, you would have been like, Clinton? I don't know. All right. Chip and? Okay. This is a fun one. Pinky and? Yeah. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I think so, brain. But if Jimmy cracks corn and no one cares, why does he keep on doing it? All right. Calvin and Hobbs. Very good. Bert and can you tell me how to? Okay. No more singing, I promise. Frodo and yeah, Sam. Oh, my gosh. Never get the extended version of The Lord of the Rings. Oh, man. Been watching that? Oh, my gosh, it's long. All right, so, culture, friendship is so important in our culture. When we say just one of these pairs, man, it comes to our mind so quickly. And these friendships are super famous. Not only are some of these friendships very famous, but we even make TV shows. We dedicate television shows to friendships, right? Let's play another guessing game. There was a very popular show. It was about a group of friends, and they really coined the show as a show about nothing. We know that show? Seinfeld, right? I mean, really, all that show was about was just a bunch of friends. That's really it. And enemies. Newman. For those of you Seinfeld fans, you'll know what that means. But Seinfeld, huge show. It was the number one show. They quit on top. I respect that. The number one show, and it was just a show about people living life together as friends. Another show, this was set in an apartment building. It's a group of people that knew each other, lived in the same apartment. They hung out a lot in the coffee shop. What was that show? Yeah, if you couldn't get that one, it's just time to go home. I'm just kidding. All right, another show, this is a good show. And this is a group of friends, but they are friends because they work together. Anybody know that show? Oh, The Office. So awkward, that show. And it's really, you know, the office, if you notice, not even about work, right? Do they do any work in the office? Very, very little. Dwight does. Thank you, McKinley. I love that. These shows are all about friendship. You know, as we look at our culture, man, our culture values friendship so, so, so much because it's so important to our life. It means so much to the way that we live day in and day out. When I was in high school, friendships were all that mattered to me. How many of you guys are parents and you feel that way about your kids? Like friendships are all that matter to them. Well, that was true for me when I was in high school, man. I didn't care at all about spending time with my family. I just wanted to hang out with my friends. And they were real winners. And one morning we were getting ready. It was the Wednesday before school let out my sophomore year. And my friends and I, they were quality people. We had the bright idea that we would go to Burger King in the morning and eat some breakfast. Seems harmless enough. Until the bottle of Crown Royal was introduced to that breakfast. And we decided to start filling our Burger King drinks with Crown Royal. This is before school at like 7 in the morning. Not smart, right? So we're kind of drinking and we finish our Burger King time and we drive to school. And we got a few minutes to spare. So we figure, hey, why not stop at the gas station and finish this bottle off? And so these girls, actually, the two of them just nailed the bottle by themselves. I was like, okay, this seems like a bad idea. I'm not really sure. But, you know, I'm hanging out with these people. They're my friends. So I kind of got to do what they do. And we drive into school. First period's not over before I'm in the principal's office. I'm like, oh my gosh, because they had gotten so drunk, they were like immediately found out. I mean, any teacher that had their cup of coffee that morning would have been able to see that these girls were totally drunk. And because they were good friends, by the time I got in the principal's office, they knew everything about what I had done that morning because my friends were you know, nice enough to tell the truth. So I experienced a wonderful time of suspension. And it was this weird suspension because it lasted over a summertime. It's the worst way to get suspended because then you're in trouble for the whole summer, right? Because as a parent, you can't like stop someone's punishment while they're still suspended. So I was suspended the last 3 days of my sophomore year and the first 7 days of my junior year and had a horrible summer in between. It was great. And As a Lake County policy, if you get caught doing any kind of substance abuse in that school, you have to go to it's called Life Streams. Any ever heard of that? Well, you don't have to raise your hand because that might be a little incriminating. But so Life Streams, I know it quite well. And I was sitting in a room one moment, and I think the wake up call came to me. When I was sitting in the room and, you know, it's like, hi, I'm Joel, you know, the whole like your name and how you got in, you know. And so I'm sitting there and we're going around the room and like the kid to my left is like, yeah, I've been addicted to crack for 2 years. I'm kind of like, oh, like I don't know those kind of kids, you know. And then the next guy is like, yeah, I've been producing meth in my basement or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, all they go around and they're like crack addicts and meth heads and like heroin addicts. And I'm like, I'm in high school and it gets around to me. And I'm like, my friends and I had some alcohol before school. And I was kind of like a fish out of water, but I could tell like, okay, if I keep hanging out with the people that I'm hanging out with currently, I could really end up in their seat. And I was like, whoa, it was a wake up call to me. And so that was the time when I began to really and truly evaluate the quality of my friendships. Also about that time, thank God, I had a youth pastor and his wife who were investing very, very, very heavily into my life. And they were asking me these kinds of questions like, so you sat in a room today full of hardcore drug addicts. How do you feel about that? And I'm like, I don't think it's probably very good. And so as I was dialoguing with them, man, they did a great job of just asking me to really consider before God the quality and the nature of my friendships. And so I did. And I think that was the heart of Solomon as he was writing to his sons, you know, don't go drinking before school because you might end up in a room full of drug addicts. Like, it wasn't exactly like that, but these are some of the kinds of things that Solomon was instructing his sons on in terms of the importance of choosing good friends. So I'm going to just kind of give you a smattering of verses on from the book of Proverbs on friendship. And again, Solomon takes a look at this idea of friendship kind of from two directions. Number one, how to choose good friends. How to choose good friends. And then the second is how to be a good friend and what a good friendship really looks like. We'll take a look. Proverbs 12:26 says that a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Don't worry about trying to turn there because it'll be frustrating. A righteous man is cautious in friendship. A righteous man chooses his friends wisely. Friendship is one of those things that if you're not careful can really take you down a wrong road really, really quickly. And so Solomon says, a righteous man is cautious in friendship. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Solomon is saying, hey, look, you know, if you're the kind of person that just wants to be a part of the party and a part of the crowd and the center of attention and have everybody give you pats on the back when you walk in the door, that's all well and good, but you may come to ruin. If you want to do yourself a favor, find a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 22:24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. Man, friendship, one of the crazy things about friendship is that it's one of those things that as you invest lots of time in, you're bound to get on each other's nerves, right? I mean, that is what friendship is all about, is stepping on each other's toes and getting on each other's nerves. And Solomon is saying, you know what? Since you're going to probably step on your friend's toes and get on his nerves, you might not want to befriend a guy that's going to want to punch you in the face. So that's good advice. And he talks about what true friends really do. And in Proverbs 17:17, he says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. He's saying, man, when you are in a friendship, you love. That's it. Your choice is love or love. That's it. You don't have an option. When you've committed to a friendship, you've got two choices, and it's love and love. So really no choice at all. Love. And a brother, someone who is sticking close to you like a brother, it doesn't matter what comes your way. If it's you know, frolicking in the fields, that's great. I don't know a lot of brothers that do that together. But if it's just a nice day and you're having fun, that's great. But brothers are born for adversity. So as you look at friendships, ask yourself, do my friendships withstand adversity? Or is it, you know, the moment things get tough, we get distant? Proverbs 27:6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. What does that mean? Does it mean that your friend has open license to, you know, to wound you and to hurt you? What it means is that friends, because they care about you, are willing to step into your life to the point of discomfort and say, hey, you know what? This thing that's going on in your life, that thing that's going on in your life, this thing that you are considering doing, the road that you're walking down is not going to lead you to a good place. And I know you don't want to hear it right now, but I'm going to tell you, because I care about you, you need to change this in your life. No one wants to have that conversation. You know, no one wakes up in the morning, has their first cup of coffee and thinks, you know, I'd like for my friend to rebuke me today. Like, that's not first on the agenda. But the truth is, and Proverbs says it well, the wounds of a friend, they can be trusted. And so as you are wounded by your friend because they love you and they want your best interest, trust those wounds. Those are good. Because the reality is, there's plenty of people who will tell you, oh, you're fine. Do what you want. What feels good, do it. It's no big deal. Make your own decisions. And yet they multiply kisses. And in the end, it's betrayal. You know, Judas kissed Jesus. The wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Proverbs 27:9, the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. You know, when you have a friend that gives you good advice, that cares about you, that gives you counsel, man, that's a pleasant and wonderful thing. I had a conversation with JP a couple of weeks back about finances. And, you know, finances are kind of one of those weird things that you're not sure you can talk about. And it's weird talking about finances to a stranger, right? And it can even be weirder talking about finances to a friend. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like that can be a very, very awkward conversation. But I appreciated JP and the friendship that he extended to me because his counsel to me was so pleasant. We just sat there and ate breakfast and he kind of talked about finances and investing and how to be wise. And for me, for a guy who is young and I don't really know all this stuff, never bought a house, I don't really know what I'm doing. JP, his counsel was like so pleasant to me. You know, when we have friends in our lives that are wise, we choose good friends, we choose them carefully, and we choose them well, we can trust their counsel. It's pleasant. It's not, you know, they're not there to beat you over the head or to purposely make you feel stupid. And they're also not there to just let you make your own mistakes. Counsel is pleasant from a friend. And probably the most famous proverb on friendship, and maybe the most important for us to grab tonight, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We have in our culture a serious, serious lack of that kind of friendship. It's void. It's hard to find in the church. It's really hard to find in the world. Most friendships are so shallow, especially between men. Now, how was the football game? Oh, it was good. Cool. Have a good day. And there's nothing wrong talking about football, but how many deep friendships are there where men and women, they come together and they talk about life and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. And that other person listens and hears them out. And because they've been sharp on their side, they're saying, you know what, this is what God's word says about that. And there's that sharpening that happens and they bounce things off of each other and they are there for each other. And they don't allow each other's lives to get dull and to get relaxed and to get complacent. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You know, the friendships that we choose completely direct our course of life. There's no getting around it. I remember that conversation so vividly between my youth pastor and his wife and me. We're sitting in a driveway. It's late at night. It's my driveway. And we're talking and I'm having a hard time because these people, they're my friends, right? And we've spent time together and we know each other and my identity is wrapped up in the group that I run with. And all of these things are going on in my head. And my youth pastor and his wife are pleading with me how important the friendships that we choose are and how easily our friendships can change our course of life. You know, thankfully, thank God, he gave me the grace to make the right decision in that moment, in that driveway. I told my youth pastor and his wife, you know what, I think I'm ready to say goodbye to this chapter of my life, to close the door on these unhealthy friendships. And you know what? I don't have any good friends. I don't. I have no good friends. And my youth pastor and his wife said, you know what, we'll be your friends. We will be your friends. And as you go, you'll get more friends that are closer to your age. It's kind of weird. Like my only friends were, you know, 15 years older than me, but we'll be your friends. And they stepped into my life and man, it was great. I began to meet with my youth pastor early in the morning. I mean, too early in the morning. We would meet at like 5 at the church and he'd always brew a pot of coffee, which was awesome. And we would just sit, we would talk. We would put some worship music on and we'd pray and we'd read the Bible and we would fellowship together and we would sharpen each other. And I saw it as my responsibility to be his friend and to even sharpen him, which was crazy, but it was so awesome. And because those decisions were made, man, the course of my life was totally changed. By their counsel and by their advice, I decided to go and be a part of a ministry called the Honor Academy. It was a Christian leadership program that take a year of your life and just go focus it in on God. give everything to God. I mean, it was crazy. We didn't listen to secular music, whatever that even means. We didn't watch rated R movies. We didn't date. We didn't even talk about dating. I mean, it was an intense year. We read our Bibles every day. We did corporate exercise together. I mean, it was nuts. It was crazy, but it was so good. And because I made the decision to say goodbye to the bad friends, to embrace the new friends, my course of life was changed. That year of my life shaped me and molded me. And I met some of the most incredible friends that I'll probably ever meet. You know, friendship matters deeply. And I think that's exactly why Solomon took the time and put the energy and the effort into making that a part of his writings to his sons. Because friendship matters and it changes the course of our lives. For the good, for the bad. There's an incredible movie. We mentioned it earlier, and it's The Lord of the Rings. Don't get the extended version, though. But in the movie, there's this friendship that emerges, and it's between Frodo and Sam. What an incredible friendship it was, because here is Frodo with this incredible burden, this incredible task, literally the weight of the world on his shoulders. And through their journey, they had highs and they had lows, and they had a lot of lows. And every corner they turned around, when Frodo was about to die, or he'd gotten stung by some huge spider, or, you know, something was going crazy, guess what? There was Sam. There were even times when Frodo felt like he needed a burden to bear the burden on his own, felt guilty for allowing Sam to shoulder part of this burden. And so Frodo would try to run away, and Sam would do anything he could to chase him. There's one scene, so incredible. Frodo rows away down a river. Sam can't swim, but he doesn't care. He runs into the water, goes literally like under the water, and he's there running. I'm kind of like, what's your plan, Sam? You know? And he's so committed to this friendship. He doesn't care if he drowns. He doesn't care if he dies trying, but he is going to be behind Frodo no matter what. And he's so committed. And you see that friendship and you're kind of like, wow, what would that be like in my life? What would it be like to have a Sam? What would that mean for me? How might my life look different if I am constantly being encouraged and uplifted by someone who cares more about me and the calling on my life than even cares about himself? What would that mean? You know, some of us are sitting in here tonight and we are alone. Alone. No matter what it is that you're called to, you may be shouldering the burden of this life alone. Maybe you have a spouse and they're shouldering much of your burden, but other than that, you're shouldering your burden alone. And guys, you don't have another guy who's with you, who's standing shoulder to shoulder to fight your fights with you. And ladies, you don't have a woman who's helping you through your craziness, because God, I am so confused at how intricate he made you. And you need that. You need that. Because your husband doesn't know. You know that, right? Some of us here are alone. You know, God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And before that, he created all of these different things. Everything that we see, God created. And as God was creating these things, he would say, man, it was good. He'd finish a day of creation and say, it was good. And he did that over and over and over until the sixth day when he created man. And man was alone. He named all the animals. God said it was good. But the first time God said it was not good is when he said it was not good that man should be alone. God created us to live in community together. And we need one another deeply. We need somebody who is with us no matter what. Because this burden of this life is heavy. We need somebody with us. And we need to be with somebody. I want you guys to take a look at this clip from The Lord of the Rings, where Sam and Frodo have an interaction that is pretty priceless. Take a look.
I can't do this, Sam. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. This shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you. That meant something. Even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
Sometimes we need to be reminded what it is that we are fighting for. There is some good in this world, and that when life doesn't make sense, we are fighting for something, and we need to be reminded what that is. You know, it is so easy in this life to get discouraged, to be bewildered, and to think that there's no hope. That's why we need good friends, good friendships, people that are there, ready to encourage us when we're down, when life seems hopeless. You know, Paul wrote in the book of Romans some incredible words, and I just want us to turn there to Romans chapter 12 on page 788 of the Mosaic Bibles, Romans 12. You know, it's kind of cliche because you kind of hear it pretty often, but the reality is, you know, it'd be nice for all of us to have a Sam in our back pockets, right? Just kind of there for us all the time, no matter what. But the reality is that in order to have that friend, you need to be able to be a good friend. I mean, it's cliche, but in order to have good friends, you've got to learn to be a good friend. That's really where it starts. And Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, he says, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, and cling to what is good." You know, that word cling, man, it's just, we got to hold on to that. And it's so important. And then he says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. It is cliche, but it's so true. If you want to have these kinds of friendships, you got to be a friend to somebody. You know, Solomon took great care in writing to his sons the importance of friendships. And tonight, I hope that you are reminded of how important they are in your life. I am reminded how important they are in my life. You know, one of the most incredible gifts that I had, that God gave to me when I moved to Texas and went to the Honor Academy and did all that, is that guy sitting right over there. It's Gabe. We call him Big Papa. Love Gabe. And Gabe is my best friend on the entire planet. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the day comes and I can't go any farther in this world, I know he'll be there for me. And when the day comes that he can't go any farther in his world, I'll be there for him. Because that's real friendship. That is true friendship. And it's the most incredible gift that we can live with in this life. If you don't have that, it is so important to get. It's so important. Don't live this life alone. I want you to take another look at this clip. And I know that one day when my moment comes, Gabe will be right there for me. Take a look at this clip.
Will be in blossom, and the birds will be nesting in the hazel thicket, and they'll be sowing the summer barley in the lower fields, and eating the first of the strawberries with cream. Do you remember the taste of strawberries?
Oh, Sam, I can't recall the taste of food. Not the sound of water. Touch of grass. I'm naked in the dark. There's nothing, no veil between me and the way of fire. I can see him with my waking eyes.
Then let us be rid of it. Once and for all. Come on, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. Come on!
When you have those kind of friends by your side, you can change the world. You can change the world. And I know that God will use me to change this world. And I know much of that is true because I've got that guy right there by my side. We need friends. So important. It's my hope for all of you that as you go home tonight and think about what it is to live this life. Reno talked this morning about living life for the kingdom of God. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. Who are you going to have by your side? I hope it's someone that you can count on, like I can count on him and like Frodo could count on Sam. And I hope that there is someone that knows that they can count on you. And if not, I pray that God would bring that person into your life as you learn to live according to Romans 12. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the incredible gift of friendship. God, thank you that you have richly blessed me with Gabe and with many other incredible friends. But God, I thank you so much that you have given us, through Solomon's words, clear instruction on the importance of friendships in our lives. God, I pray that Mosaic Church would be a church that would be marked by incredible friendships, that men would be able to walk shoulder to shoulder with other men and live their lives for the kingdom of God, and that women would be able to walk shoulder to shoulder with other women and to live their lives for the kingdom of God. And as a result, God, you would use us to change the world together. God, I thank you so much for the incredible, incredible wisdom of Proverbs. I pray that we would learn to apply it. God, thank you so much for Paul's words in Romans. God, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, we would be able to live that way with one another, devoted to each other in brotherly love, honoring one another above ourselves. God, we thank you so much for the gift of friendship. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.